Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
I'm joined by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Smoltzy, tell me this. What's harder, winning a Cy Young or an Emmy Award?
Oh, man. Winning a Cy Young. It takes a lot longer to happen. You know, it's funny when you mention something like that. I just go back to all those years of being predicted to win and just feeling like a failure. But in 96, fortunately, I was able to at least get that off my back because that was starting to bother me.
Download the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
We will have more with Kyler Murray from the Cardinals flight plan, their own website. This extensive conversation with the Cardinals quarterback, even as he prepares and holds on to the hope that he might be able to kick off the season week one, which is September 10th. OMG, it's not that far away. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Kyler plus Brad Holmes. And I know the Lions have got a lot of buzz around them as they head into the 23 season, considering how they finished last year and the way that they were able to eliminate the Packers from postseason contention on their own field at Lambeau. There is so much hope and promise. It's starting to pay off. The young talent, but also they're a team to watch because of Dan Campbell. How about that? So their general manager, as he has retooled the backfield, Dalvin Cook, a little message to Minnesota fans, but also what he's waiting for before he signs a free agent deal. And then some baseball and basketball mixed in too. Oh, and Rory, he's never going to let it go ever. So whether you find us on Twitter or Facebook, our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we've got a brand new summer video edition of Ask Amy Anything. It's always good to connect with you. I hope you got big plans this weekend. I do. This is the weekend that I'm... Oh, no, you're going to have to wait because instead we're going to talk some football. We are days away from the first training camps opening up and the first rookies officially reporting. Imagine how they feel. So to Las Vegas we go now. It's the home of Visa Network. It's also the home of Mike Pritchard, former NFL wide receiver. He was a top 15 draft pick. Now he is the lead NFL analyst for Visa and part of the Lombardi line where he's often filling in for Mike Lombardi. Let's start with something fun, shall we, Mike? I hear people talk about how Hard Knocks is a negative. Aaron Rodgers not thrilled about it. Why? Why would Hard Knocks be a negative?
It won't be a negative. I mean, I think what people need to realize is Hard Knocks and the Jets, they're going to have to create some storylines. You know, I think they potentially had a big storyline, but it got resolved with the Quinn Williams signing and the right deal for him. So, you know, they're not going to have to deal with that. Much like Rex Ryan had to deal with Darrell Revis back in the day when the Hard Knocks was participating with the Jets. So that storyline's out the way. Aaron Rodgers is a storyline himself. There's a lot of characters on that roster, too. So, you know, it's going to be interesting because I think today's players are all about branding, and it's going to be a great opportunity for a lot of those players on that team and that market to be able to brand themselves a little bit. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be very interesting, a Hard Knocks situation this coming season.
I think with the personalities like Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, they've got some real personalities there, not to mention Robert Saleh and, of course, Aaron Rodgers, plus the Zach Wilson component of the whole thing. Yeah, it feels like they got plenty for the cameras to focus on.
Absolutely, and the focus is not going to be all on Aaron Rodgers, too, right? Because, I mean, I know he is a Hall of Famer in waiting. He is supposed to be the difference maker as a quarterback for that franchise now. But like you just mentioned, I mean, there are so many different ways that Hard Knocks can go. The interesting stories, the interesting backgrounds, you know, just the interesting characters, like you mentioned. I think the whole situation is right. I mean, that market too, back in New York with that team, a lot of people are excited from a betting standpoint about the Jets as well as from a fandom standpoint as well.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because I'm wondering, how do you see this new look Jets team impacting the division, the AFC East as a whole?
They're a complete team. I think Coach Sala did what has not been done in a lot of years. You know, you can go back to Bill Parcells when you can change a culture. And that's what needed to happen. I mean, the Jets routinely was picking in the top of the draft. They were drafting excellent player, a lot of talent. But their culture was not at a level where it needed to be. And I think Robert Saleh coming into the organization and kind of changing that. You remember the "I'm taking receipts" comments at the podium? I mean, that right there is something that as a player, one, you respect the fact that your coach, your head coach, put that out there. And now we got to back him up. But then also the willingness for head coach to do that, knowing that his players will back him up. So that spoke volumes to me about the Jets. And now assimilating the talent that they have over the last 2 years and that you add in this type of quarterback, I think it has the makings of being very, very special. I did something on VSiN in which I did track record of quarterbacks that are Hall of Fame in waiting. In other words, these are quarterbacks that are Hall of Famers already, but they're just still playing. And their track record has been outstanding in terms of getting to the playoffs and even winning Super Bowls. I mean, that's Tom Brady, that's Peyton Manning, that's Warren Moon, that's Joe Montana, you know, quarterbacks that left their other situation or other team for whatever reason, Brett Favre, for whatever reason, and yet they go on and have success with their new team, even though they're in the twilight of their career. So I think Aaron Rodgers fits that description as well. And, you know, I think he's going to incorporate himself and be very comfortable with that culture up there in New York as well.
Mike Pritchard's a former NFL wide receiver and spent years both in Denver as well as in Seattle and Atlanta. As you talk about Hall of Famers, you crossed paths with one when you were in Denver. How much does that change the depth of the offense? How much does it change the knowledge and just the way that the offense is approached when you have a guy who is of that caliber, like an Aaron Rodgers?
It is outstanding. I mean, I got the privilege to play with Brett Favre at the beginning of his career, not quite a Hall of Famer at that point, but we all know how that story ended. And then, you know, my journey continued with John Elway and Sir Warren Moon. These guys are just on a different level. I mean, I was going into my fourth year in the National Football League when I linked up with John Elway, and I thought I knew a lot at the receiver position, but I didn't know half as much as I needed to know. And John Elway kind of brought that out for me. And same thing, similar to Warren Moon. You know, I'm going into the latter years of my career, but yet I'm still learning from these great quarterbacks. They're so meticulous. They want to strive for perfection on each and every play, each and every competitive situation. And not everybody's wired that way, right? But I think when you get to that level, when you've had that much success, you have to find ways to motivate yourself. You have to find flaws so you can still get better, right? And I think, you know, the fact that Aaron Rodgers is still playing, there's something out there that he's chasing. And as a better, I'm focused in on that. I really want to know, and I think it's another Super Bowl because he could hang it up. He could just walk away, and he could have hosted Jeopardy, right? I mean, he could still do a lot of things, but he's still playing this game that he loves, and something's motivating him. And if you give me a great player that's motivated, then usually positive things will happen.
Did you also cross paths with Mike Shanahan when you were in Denver? Because he is now a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I did. So I started with Wade Phillips. He was the head coach when I got traded to Denver. And then Pat Bowlen moved on from Wade Phillips to Mike Shanahan. So I was able to get coached by Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak as well. And that was the beginning or the new beginning of Coach Shanahan as head coach. And that led to what I believe is a Hall of Fame career. He absolutely should be in Hall of Fame.
What made him a special coach?
Attention to detail, meticulous. It's the same qualities as a player, that the competitiveness too. You know, you were not going to out-coach or out-scheme Mike Shanahan. He was going to have an answer for something. He was going to know exactly what you were trying to do against his offense. And we had a saying, you know, when somebody, you know, that person, it could be a family member, it could be a friend, but they come over to your house and, you know, they get into your kitchen, right? They start opening up your refrigerator. They start going through your covers and seeing what you got. We all know some people like that. Well, that was a term that we used with Mike Shanahan, Coach Shanahan, that he would get into the kitchen of the defensive coordinator on the opposing team. And he would know their schemes. He would know their tendencies. He would know them inside and out. And that would just make the game so much easier for everybody. So, yeah, absolutely well-deserving as a finalist. But I hope he gets into the Hall of Fame.
We're excited to have Mike Pritchard back on the show, former NFL wide receiver, is also now part of VSiN, as he's mentioned. He's their lead NFL analyst. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So here we are. We're just days away from the start of training camps, which blows me away because I feel like the summer just began, Mike. What goes on with a player? What type of emotions? What type of last-second preparation before you get to camp?
Well, you know, Amy, I think at this point, everybody, you know, they had their vacation after the mandatory mini camps and everything. And so you had about a good mental break, at least in terms of about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 weeks. But you also needed to stay in shape because you have these conditioning tests that you have to pass because you want to get off on the right foot and make that impression once you get back in, and certainly be in shape, too. And you know, there was a time where training camp actually helped you as a player get into shape. But with 3 preseason games and the rapid nature and the veteran players, they're not going to play that much, as we know. So it's important and it's vital that these guys, even though they had a break, still stayed in tip-top shape. So you want to make sure that once you get to camp that you're going to pass these conditioning tests and you're really going to hit the ground running and also avoid injury if you can, right? I mean, that's the nature of the beast, I think, for a lot of players. You don't want to get nicked up. You don't want to have a pulled muscle. You don't want to have anything that could handcuff you for the beginning of the year. So absolutely, I think everybody's excited, but at the same time, making sure that everything is kosher when it comes to being in shape for your team.
All right. I need to know for real, Mike, what was the attitude among veterans about training camp? Because we hear all these jokes about how guys who've been in the league a few years, they don't really want to go back to dorms, if that's the case. They don't really want to be there at the beginning of camp when it's a lot of conditioning and it's freaking hot. So when you were a veteran, how did you actually feel about camp?
Well, I mean, back in the day, back in my day, I mean, you know, way back when, I mean, it was really 2-a-days, right? I mean, we had what we called it hell week. I mean, we would go out there 10 days in a row with double practices, padded up, and then we would get physical. We would hit in both of those practices. So it was hell week. I mean, it was grueling. Now, because of player safety you know, better minds are prevailing here in terms of we don't need to have that type of punishment on our bodies and get ready for the season. So it is grueling because you are away from your families. But I think, too, when you look at certain teams and the facilities that they have, like, for instance, the Las Vegas Raiders, I would love to go to training camp for the Las Vegas Raiders because you have everything.
Yes.
You have virtual reality. You have every equipment. I would spend the night, actually, in the facility. I wouldn't even go back to the hotel if I didn't have to, because it's so exquisite. So it's so different than, you know, staying in a Best Western, not to knock a Best Western or a dorm. but yeah, I mean, I think today's players, they have it so much better, so much more comfortable.
Do you think that is the better route, or it better prepares them for what's to come? I mean, which style do you prefer, Mike?
For myself, the injuries that I had during my career, it was a lacerated kidney. That was something flukish. And then I tore up my meniscus, which can happen, I think, certainly, you know, during the course of a career. Yeah, I think iron sharpens iron, to be honest with you. I think you need to have padded up practices. You need to get in condition in order for the rigors of the season. But now they're at 17 games, and it's all about load management now. So I think from a soft tissue standpoint, being in shape is vital. You cannot afford to pull a muscle or have a strain. But, you know, those other injuries in a contact sport, a lot of times those are unavoidable anyway. So I like it because it is addressing player safety, and I can appreciate that. I can respect that. But at the same time, I'm old school in terms of iron sharpening iron, and there has to be a certain level of contact in order to get ready to understand the contact that you're going to have each and every game day.
Mike Pritchard is with us from Las Vegas, where, of course, the Raiders make their home. Pretty soon, the A's will likely make their home. The WNBA is there about to host its All-Star game. We know that there's been talk about an NBA team landing in Las Vegas. So, Mike, you're there. How is Vegas doing with this mass influx of not just events, but actual leagues making their home there?
Vegas is handling it all like a champ. I mean, don't forget UFC, too. We just had this major UFC event. And, you know, if anything about Vegas and what people are understanding or realizing, and certainly if you own a franchise or if you want to partner up in terms of a major sports league, this is a city to do it with because it's a global city. You know, there's very few cities like that. New York, you can think of Atlanta, certainly L.A., and then Las Vegas. Las Vegas attracts people from all over the world from a market standpoint. And I think you want to get your product in front of those eyes because that's branding. You know, people from across the pond, or, you know, they're taking back gear from the Raiders, or they're taking back gear from the Aces or the Knights. There's an attraction. There's an affinity, certainly, for Vegas. We got Formula One coming here, and that's going to be spectacular. Later on this year, then the Super Bowl at the beginning of next year, certainly. So Vegas can handle it all. I mean, we have the hotel rooms. We're a hospitality industry. We know how to entertain, and certainly people will not be disappointed once they get to Las Vegas. So as a guy who grew up here and could not even imagine professional sports being in my city the way that they are now, I mean, it's incredible. We got a Stanley Cup championship. We got a WNBA championship, and we'll see what the Raiders can do. The pressure is on for the next sports, the major sports franchise to win championship now.
Yeah, people are going to yell at me because I did not mention the Golden Knights first, of course, just having their ticker tape parade in honor of the Stanley Cup. So, yes, the Golden Knights were the first pro sports franchise there of the major teams. And yes, they deserve all of their props. So, Mike, you talk about the Raiders. Obviously, they're going through transition as they've changed quarterbacks again. And we know in Josh McDaniels' second year, there's a little more pressure. But they're in the same division as the Super Bowl champions. Patrick Mahomes on 1.5 legs is still dynamic. Who has the best chance, even though it's not yet training camp, at making inroads at Kansas City?
I think the Bengals. You know, I am so high on Cincinnati and the Bengals and, you know, that young core group of players that they have offensively. This is the best offensive line that Joe Burrow had in front of him in his brief career. I mean, they're bringing back Orlando Brown into that division once again. He started, obviously, with the Ravens. And now, so he's got familiarity and I think they have quality depth on that offensive line. The playmakers are outstanding for the Bengals as well. And they've had this Super Bowl window cracked open after their appearance in the Super Bowl.
Right.
They just have come up short with a few plays. Think about it. The game against the Rams, they came up short off of just a couple plays away from winning a championship, you know, with Kansas City and certainly what Mahomes is able to do and capable of. The Bengals are just a couple plays short, a couple plays away. And I know that's driving that locker room, that they're just literally a couple plays away from a championship. So I'm all for that. I'm backing them, the team that I think really has it together to knock off the Chiefs and get to the Super Bowl and perhaps win the Super Bowl as well.
I cannot believe it's about time for the rat race to begin again.
No. I know. It's incredible. You know, you think about mandatory mini camps and then, oh, it's weeks away. They got plenty of time. You blink and then all of a sudden, nope, training camp's right around the corner. So I think everybody's ready for it. We're anticipating an outstanding year once again in National Football League.
Oh, yes. They certainly are the cash cow. They're the league every other league wants to be when it grows up. I mean, I could ask you a million more questions. So let's do this again as we get closer to the season. How about that?
Anytime. My pleasure. Always a joy to be with you.
You can find Mike on Twitter at M.I. Pritchard. Retired NFL wide receivers crossed paths with some of the greats in his own career. Now you can hear him on VSiN as their lead NFL analyst, as well as part of Mike Lombardi's show, The Lombardi Line, in Vegas, his hometown. Again, thank you for your time. It's great to catch up with you.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Amy.
No negatives to Hard Knocks. Aaron Rodgers, what are you talking about? I like it. A lot of people still high on the Bengals. They've got some unfinished business, but boy, are there plenty of contenders in the AFC. Maybe even in the AFC West with those Chargers. We'll see. I know that a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a month ago now, we did a topic here on the show where we asked you about the teams who routinely disappoint you to the point where you actually expect it now. You expect them to set you up and then drop you like you're hot. Set you up and then lower the boom. They come up with new ways to lose and to break your heart. Come up with new ways to stumble, crumble, bumble, and ultimately crush you. The Chargers are one of those. So maybe not the Chargers yet. We'll see. Love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page too. Happy almost summer weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
What are you up to this weekend? I actually was texting a friend on, I guess it was Thursday evening, right? And before I came into work, and asked her what she was doing for the weekend. Now, she's my beach date for next weekend. So, yeah, it seems like all the Saturdays are full. But that's what the summer is supposed to be about. The summer is supposed to be about Saturdays that are full, especially when the weather is hot and I want to be on the water or near the water. So, yes, this is my beach date for next weekend. But I asked her, what are you doing? She said, I have no plans. LOL. She's a big LOL girl. I love her anyway. So I said to her, well, it's still the weekend. It's still the summertime. Of course, you don't have to work. And that's just a plus anyway. And a lot of people get out of town early. If the traffic in New York City is any indication, it's buzzing because of people are coming in from all over the place and not just coming into the city from local areas where they can drive in for shows and events and that kind of stuff, just sightseeing even, but also people who are coming in from out of state, out of country. So yes, the tourism industry is back everywhere, but it's been nutso for the past three, four weeks, I think, even before July 4th really got underway. So it's definitely vacation season. I've had friends, actually, it's really funny, this happens to me a bunch, where I see friends post on Facebook photos of New York City, and they're here. And I wouldn't say these are my closest friends, obviously, but I had a college friend who was here for a week on vacation, and she and her family were taken in the sights, and I saw on Facebook that she was here and didn't have a chance to catch up with her because she waited till the last second to ask me, like, hey. But yeah, it is kind of funny. That's how I find out that acquaintances are here. Anyway, I'm just thrilled there's no commute for the next couple of nights. That's my favorite thing about the weekend. And also not having to stay up all night. I do sleep pretty well at night, better at night than I do in the daytime. I'll say that to be sure. And this weekend, even as I say, I don't have to commute, and it's not a commute, but I am turning around with my college roommate who will be driving down from Maine on Friday morning. So, yeah, I'm getting up way earlier than I normally would on Friday for her, but it'll be worth it. We're doing just a movie and Thai food night on Friday. But on Saturday, we're getting up bright and early, and we're driving into New York City because she, for her milestone birthday, we just both had milestone birthdays. For her milestone birthday gift, she wanted to go up to the crown of the Statue of Liberty. And you have to get these tickets months in advance. They sell out. They only allow a certain number of people to go up into the crown, and they sell out months in advance. I've never been able to get them. Now, granted, I haven't been sitting on the website and looking every couple of months, but I've tried in the past with other friends and family members to get tickets to go up to the crown because I've never been. And I never could. So she actually planned her entire trip around when she could get the tickets. And I remember she was looking for them in March or April. I can't remember which one. It was early spring. And she told me, yeah, they're sold out on pretty much every weekend except for this one. And there's a couple of tickets left for this time of the day. So they really do keep a tight hold on the number of tickets. They only allow so many. We have to hike a lot of steps, but we're really looking forward to it. Although, it's supposed to be 86 degrees with a heat index over 90. So that's going to be a lot of fun, hiking up all those steps. and winding our way around the top of the Statue of Liberty to get up to the crown. But ooh, it's going to be amazing. And as it turns out, this is actually kind of funny. Bob, my significant other, is jealous because it's not my fault. He wants to go up to the crown as well. And so I got tickets for when he's going to be back in New Jersey. So he's here in New Jersey in late June, and he's not coming back until September. So I got tickets for his birthday gift to go up in the crown. But it's not my fault that Colleen had already bought tickets. So he's kind of mad that I'm going up into the crown without him. I mean, what do you want me to do? Tell her no? No, I can't. She already bought the tickets, but I can't. I can't help it, Bob. She predated you. So what are you going to do? And she's my college roommate. So I got to have some loyalty to my college roommate. Actually, Colleen and I played high school basketball against each other. So we both grew up in New Hampshire. We went to rival high schools and we played high school hoops against each other. And then we also went to the same college, Messiah College, for undergrad. And she and I ended up rooming together for our junior and senior years. Actually, sophomore, junior, and senior years. So she was my college roommate for 3 years. And we've remained tight. And last year was my trip to Maine. She lives in Portland. So it was my trip to Maine to visit her. We did the lighthouse tour. And we did a Friendsgiving, actually. It was right before Thanksgiving. It was the weekend before. So we had fun putting together a menu and cooking and baking together and did a lot of walking, a lot of hiking so that we could eat all of our good food. And now it's Colleen's return trip to my house and to New Jersey. I got to be honest, as excited as she is about the crown, that's probably the most important thing to her on this trip. She's also way too excited for my cat and my dog. And the time she gets with my cat and my dog, there's a chance. Now, I don't know that she would ever tell me this, but maybe lie detector test. There's a chance that she is more excited about the cat and the dog than she is about me. Maybe. Just maybe. Although neither Penny nor Sugar can take her into New York City and make sure that she gets in the right place at the right time for our ferry over to Liberty Island. So, all right. I'm really excited about it. That'll be not just a great photo op. Oh my gosh, it's going to be an amazing photo op to be in the crown. On the crown? In the crown? At the crown? In the crown. I think in the crown sounds right. We're in the crown. Yes. We're going to be one of the jewels in the crown. We're going to be jewels in the crown. That's what we're going to do. It'll be so cool to take photos from up there in the crown. But also, if you're not familiar, the Statue of Liberty is on an island that's right in the middle of the Hudson River, directly across from Lower Manhattan, which is where the Freedom Tower is located. And that's what we're doing in the afternoon. So we're doing the crown tour, the crown extravaganza in the morning. And then we have tickets to go up in the Freedom Tower in the afternoon. So it's a good thing neither one of us is afraid of heights. That's the only thing I'm worried about with Bob, is that he's afraid of heights. How do you think this is going to play with the crown? What do you think, Ryan?
All I know is that if you are afraid of heights, I don't know why you do it. Was it like 100, 200 stories?
I'm Googling Statue of Liberty height.
It's got to be up there. It's got to be at least like...
It's 305 feet. So the statue itself is 151 feet. Lady Liberty stands on a pedestal that is actually 3 feet taller than that. So the entire structure is 305 feet. How high can you walk up? Let's see. The crown is located 162 steps above the top of the pedestal and 377 steps above the ground. So it's obviously, I mean, you could find pictures that people have ever posted from the crown. Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
So it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, 305 feet. So the problem is when we went hiking in West Virginia, we were much farther up than 305 feet. But you're looking down at not just an island, but the water. Right? So we did do some hiking and he would not go very close to the edge. We were up on some rock formations at the top and he was really nervous. He did take some pictures from up there. He took some pictures of me, but he was very careful to leave me between him and the edge of the cliff. So that he was okay with me going over, but not him.
Don't risk death. Don't do anything stupid.
No. Yeah. No one's hanging off the crown. Could you imagine? I'm sure people have tried it. That's my weekend. The Statue of Liberty. Have you ever been to the Crown?
I've seen it, not in it.
Okay. Well, this is a first for me, too. I've been in the New York City area now 11 years, almost a full 11 years, and this will be my first time. Cannot wait. Lady Liberty, she is an awesome, awesome landmark, but also I always feel patriotic when I'm there. So from there to the Freedom Tower we will go, which is also incredible and much higher. That with the spire is the tallest building in New York City. But it's just an incredible incredible feat, engineering feat that they were able to build there on the site of the Twin Towers. But more beyond that, more than that, it's the spirit. It's, again, the patriotism. It's the significance of that building going up where one of our worst tragedies, worst days took place. So in Lower Manhattan now, I always gaze at the Freedom Tower and her blue glass. Really enjoy taking people up to the top there because it's a 360 view, and you can get, on a clear day, you can get views of multiple states, and the water looks real pretty. So that's it. We're doing the Heights tour on Saturday. I cannot wait. That's going to be so much fun. If you have summer plans, you can let me know on Twitter, A-Law Radio, then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also, it's official now. The Screen Actors Guild and also the American Film and TV and Radio Association, we, and I say we because this is my union, we are officially on strike. I'm not getting up and walking out. In fact, I'm hoping that I don't have to cross a picket line. But SAG-AFTRA, and this is the actors, are on strike. They could not come up with a new deal with their producers. And so now they're on strike. It's the first time since 1960 that Hollywood's actors and writers are on strike at the same time. If you love your TV, if you love your crime dramas, that's me. I love crime dramas. If you're still into some of the medical shows, oh my gosh, if you love the Chicago Fire PD and Chicago Med, I love Chicago PD. It's one of my favorite shows. And I'm actually mostly nervous about SEAL Team because that is my all-time, well, not my all-time favorite. It's my favorite show right now. I love SEAL Team. And I even got Paramount Plus just so I could watch SEAL Team. I know, you can laugh at me, Ryan. So this makes me pretty nervous if they're messing with my fall TV schedule. Because TV is my escape. Does that make sense? I think it probably is for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I know a ton of people, including my parents, that love like NCIS. And
I love those shows.
My mom loves the 911.
Oh, yeah, so does she? Uh-huh. There's three of them now, or there were three of them. Maybe there's just two now. So all of these shows are in jeopardy. Not only do they not have scripts right now, but they don't have actors. Not that you want them to ad lib. But all of your fall favorites, all of the TV shows that you watch, all in jeopardy right now. So when will it start to bother you? When will you notice, do you think? Maybe in mid-September when your shows don't return? Or when it's reruns? Where your shows are supposed to be, or when it's, oh no, we're going to get a mad influx of reality TV. That's what's going to happen. Reality TV, unscripted. I'm using my air quotations because I think some of it's scripted, but that's what's going to happen. Reruns and reality TV. Oh, that sounds terrible. Good thing we have football. I have actually a queue. I don't know if you do, Ryan, but I have a queue of TV shows that I need to get to, movies that I haven't watched. I think, okay, that's on the list. That's on the list. And I haven't done it yet. So, this could be the fall where that's all I do, other than football, of course. Yeah. Your parents, you may have to recommend that to your parents.
They don't. They can barely figure out how to use a Fire Stick. It's it's hopeless.
It's embarrassing.
It's bad.
That's cute. All right. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, our YouTube channel. Glad to have you with us as we hurdle our way toward the weekend. Happy Almost Friday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You know when you see somebody get hurt on TV and, like, you see everybody come dap them up and, like, give her love and, like, it was, like, all that happened in a blur, but it was all, like, the trainers came up to me. I'm on the ground. I wasn't in shock. I was just more so, like, I've been hurt before, but not like this, and I knew something was wrong. You know what I'm saying? I knew something had to be up.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The first extensive conversation we've had from Kyler Murray discussing his torn ACL on December 12th. That was in a game against the Patriots, and it was kind of a rough go before that anyway. He got the big contract, the $230 million, right before they started the season, right? It was this, I wouldn't say it was a huge surprise necessarily, but it was a struggle all of the offseason between the Cardinals, the front office, and Kyler and what he wanted. And it was tension. Unfortunately, the contract didn't fix the tension, at least not the tension with his then head coach, Cliff Kingsbury. Now, that continued all the way through the year. And it was a rough go for Kyler and for the Cardinals pretty much from the get-go. And a lot of people blamed him. It's never that easy. It's a team sport with a lot of peeps on the field. And I know everyone wants, not everyone, I'll take that back. A lot of people reduce it to, hey, if your quarterback's really good, well, then you're a winner. It's not that simple. It's really not. We love our QB news here. We're obsessed with our quarterbacks. But it's never just about the QB. Although the QB and the coach and certainly their relationship set a tone for the rest of the team, a lot of times they can. And it felt like the tone from Kyler, even going back to the beginning, gets the contract. This is it. I'm going to sail forward. I'm going to build on what happened. Instead, year four was a dud. Year four for Kyler. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, the whole idea was to take the steps forward to win, not just with the contract. That wasn't all it was about. Win on the field, and yet the back and forth, the push and pull, it really, until his injury, it really never played out the way that the Cardinals hoped.
My whole career, like football, baseball, a little bit of basketball I played growing up, never really lost. Football especially, never really lost. You know, playing at Allen, A&M, going to OU. Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. Especially when, you know, I feel like since I've been in the league, all we've done is go up. You know, I got better every year. And then to take like a, you know, hit a wall year four after, especially after going through the whole contract thing, like I got COVID in camp. I hurt my wrist in camp, so I missed a lot of those reps. And then trying to play catch up during the season, it was just kind of like a compilation of f***ed up things going on. But you work your whole life to kind of, I've done everything right as far as off the field, on the field, you know what I'm saying? I try to treat people the right way, but it is what it is, you know what I'm saying? I think winning cures all, and it's been tough to do that, you know what I'm saying? With some of the circumstances that we had to deal with. But like I said, I think we're heading the right direction.
Kyler Murray on Cardinals Flight Plan. So this is the actual Cardinals website. If you remember, his entrance into the NFL coincided with Cliff Kingsbury getting hired. Cliff got hired and then they drafted Kyler Murray, number one overall. And it was a surprise because just the year before, they had drafted Josh Rosen in the top 10. I think it was the top 10. Now, Rosen never really got a fair shake. That was a mess. Steve Wilks, he's an incredible defensive guy, wasn't ready to be a head coach. And so they threw Josh Rosen into the fire and kind of ruined him. No way to know if he would have ever become a viable NFL QB. Because of how it started there and what a mess it was after that. They get rid of Wilkes. They hire Kingsbury out of Texas Tech. Was he at Tech? I think he was at Tech. And then they draft Kyler and the two of them come in together. And the relationship was supposed to be this revelatory relationship. Speak the same language, have the same goals, start together. And yet last year we know that it was not that way. Cliff was frustrated. There were times when Kyler was yelling at him on the field. And I know that's not the indication that, oh, it's a terrible relationship. Temperatures and the temperature is hot on the sidelines. Tempers can be hot on the sidelines. emotions are running high. There's a lot happening there, especially when you're losing. As Kyler said, winning cures everything in sport. But they were dead last in the NFC West last year. They were 4-13, and that's not all after Kyler got hurt. Kingsbury ends up getting fired, and to the point where he didn't even want to think about coaching again. Remember, he went to Thailand to see his girlfriend and did not book a return ticket. Promptly said, I'm not interested, politely, but promptly, thank you for your interest, other teams, but I am not interested. Now, he did return, but at the time, he had soured so badly, he wanted nothing to do with coaching. Now, Kyler doesn't talk about Cliff, but he does talk about their new head coach, Jonathan Gannon, and the connection with Gannon so far.
You know what I mean? JG hit it off. You know, he sees things the way I see things. You know, he can relate to the guys, and he, you know, genuinely feels like he believes in the guys and is trying to get the guys better, me better. I feel like, you know, you run through a wall for that type of guy. You know what I'm saying? And that's the type of energy that he brings. So it's been good.
I know he doesn't mention Cliff Kingsbury by name, but it does feel as though he's making a point about the differences between Jonathan Gannon, who comes from the Eagles system, remember, was their offensive coordinator. I'm sorry, defensive coordinator. And Cliff Kingsbury. Again, doesn't explicitly say it, but you can almost read between the lines there. And I like how he starts out and says, he sees things the way that I do. As if that's the precursor for all success with coaches and quarterbacks. He sees things the way that I do. Not we see things the same way. Nope. He sees them the way that I do. Gosh. All right. We'll have more from Kyler Murray as he's still targeting week one to return from that torn ACL. Top of the hour, an update from Dalvin Cook himself. He's got one one that he's going to share with us, requirement of the team where he ends up next. Plus, Rory's still hot. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.